I have one of my power quotes I want to really bring to you before I continue. You are a solution to somebody. Never condemn yourself. Never look down upon yourself. Somebody is admiring you secretly. Somebody is admiring you secretly to reward you. Somebody is secretly praying for you. Somebody is just waiting to be a blessing to you. You are a solution to somebody. Never look down upon yourself and never tell yourself you can't make it. When you were a clot of blood in your mother's womb, you were a winner. Even how more on earth, even in your mother's womb, you were a winner. You were the first. How more on earth you will make it? Even there is one thing that my father, Reverend Steve, have always been saying. Even if you decide to fail, it is too late. You tell yourself that no, I can't do anything again. It is too late to fail. If you have said it a little bit earlier, it would have helped. But now, it is too late. You cannot fail. You have been born and strategically located in CEM to succeed. So if you yourself, you decide, you can't be under our Father's leadership and fail. Because he himself is a winner. He has succeeded. That is why you can't be a son or a daughter and fail. It can be. It's a mistake or it's an error. Hallelujah. Why? I have three scriptures I want to bring to us here. I should break it in. Forgive. One of the things I believe strongly can help us to be able to build a very good church is to forgive one another. One of the main things that we can do to help us make it succeed in ministry is to forgive one another. The Bible says, we all read, say the Lord's Prayer, Father, forgive us our sins as we also forgive others their sins. The Lord has forgiven you your sins upon all the foolish things we have done. The foolish, you just set your mind back and see the foolish things. I'm included, number one. Pastor Mike will tell you. Foolish, pa. And the Lord is up there and is looking at us. He has forgiven us. Cleansed us with his precious blood. And if somebody does something to you, you are holding the person in your heart. Remember, you are a pastor. Remember, you are a leader. Leading the flock, you are holding the person at heart. God has forgiven you yours. And you have put somebody's own in your pocket. And you are gallying with it. You are gallying with it. Comfortably. Comfortably. The Lord has forgiven you. And he expects you. It's a command. He expects you to forgive. He expects you to forgive others. When you read the scripture in the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, it says, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. Whoever, whosoever, that means that you are included number one, hated his brother, is a murderer. Let's pause here and ask ourselves, who is a murderer? A murderer, I want to describe it as somebody who takes a cutlass. Cutlass. No, you see, when I describe it that way, you understand it. Somebody who takes a cutlass and cuts somebody's head. So whoever hated his brother, the Bible is saying that you take a cutlass and you cut your friend's head. And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You are a pastor leading the flock. If you are going to hell, remember that all your flocks are following you. That is what I'm not saying. It's the scripture that is saying it. It's the scripture that is saying it. As pastors, if we have to grow our churches to succeed, we need to learn to forgive. No matter, look, I have a practical way I always say it. If a brother or a sister offends you, look at it. You can't kill the brother. You can't poison the brother. You can't imprison the brother. Ask yourself, what do you think you can do to the brother or the sister? No, you just ask yourself. There is nothing you can do. You can just get angry. And the sister that you are getting angry with, he has found some fufu and lye soup somewhere. And he's helping herself somewhere. And you are angry. And carrying her load in addition to yours. With all the problem you have added yours, hers to yours in your heart. And she's chilling and Charlie helping herself. So now, ask yourself, who is now trouble? The sister you are angry or the brother you are angry with? Oh, he's walking about happily, singing some praises and some songs. And Charlie, and he's happy with the Lord. And you are angry. Charlie, come on. I say, look, even if I die, don't come to my funeral. When you even die, how would you know that the person came to your funeral or not? No. Let's be very practical to look at these things. Forgiveness is one of the things that Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary, he forgave. He set us an example. And he asked us to follow it. And if as pastors we say we are followers of Christ, and we can't follow this example, there's a big question mark. It's a big question mark. Let's look at the same scripture. I think 2 verse 11. If my memory serves me right. Okay. I think so. It says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness. So that means that for all this while you are leading the flock, you are still in darkness. The pastor is in darkness. So how is the flock? Let's ask this question. If the pastor who is leading the flock is in darkness, so how is the church going to be? That is why your church is not growing. Yeah. No, let's be practical about this. That he that hateth his brother is in darkness. And that is a pastor of a church. And it's in darkness. Oh. God have mercy upon us. God have mercy upon us. God have mercy. And look at it. Let's finish the scripture. And walketh in darkness. They didn't say it's only in darkness. Oh. in here darkness again. It has become a call for him. All the ministry in the Bible, he hasn't found any of them. He has found a ministry of walking in darkness. He has now given a new ministry in the church, walking in darkness. So if the pastor have given a new ministry, walking in darkness, which ministry will he give to the members? And knoweth not he that he goeth. Elena, O software ni ye ni lead some more. Elena, you want me some more beer? The pastor leading the floor does not know where he's going. Some of you, yes, they are following the pastor. Pastor is leading us, and they are following. And the pastor who is leading them, Elenia, he doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't have a direction. Because the darkness have blinded his eyes. I'm talking about forgiveness. I have only one point. That is forgiveness. That is the only point I have to give. The other ones, Pastor Ambrose and Pastor Divine will come and add to it. But my point is only one. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. My brother and my sisters in Christ, we have to do everything possible to forgive. No matter how it is, you have to. Because if you forgive, the members will also learn to forgive. If the pastor does not learn to forgive, the members will not learn to forgive. And the Bible says in the book of Psalm 66 verse 18, that is my last scripture. Let me add it to it. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then regard there. Let's try to bring it down so that everybody will understand. Other words for it is, if I love, if I cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That means for all this while, because you have put a brother or a sister in your heart, the Lord is not listening to you. That is why you have fasted, you have prayed, you have done all this, and the church is not still going. Just because you have harbored somebody in your heart. It says, if I have been cozy with evil, the Lord will never have listened to me. That's other version. The Lord will never have listened. That means for all this while, the prayers you are praying, you are trusting and believing God that Charlie, the prayers are. But it's my prayer that we will learn to forgive. We will learn to forgive. We will learn to forgive. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I trust that as we learn to forgive, the Lord will give us ministries that people have not enjoyed. Look, there are people who have succeeded in ministry. They have made it. They are not different from us. People you see today who are at the hem of affairs, at the height of ministry, look, they started like you. They have two eyes. They had a nose. They had legs. They had arms. The prayer you are praying, you are even praying more than they did. But if we can't learn to forgive, we will attain that height. God bless you.
Hallelujah. One of the things that excites me is when people begin to talk about their real life, who they were some time ago, it makes the kingdom real. We don't want photostats. We want originals. Amen. I've discovered that God is no respecter of persons. And the Bible says God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You and I will not understand why God will use certain people. But the truth is that it's God who calls. And I want you to know that the calling of God is one of the most serious decisions you will ever have to respond to in your life. I wouldn't want anybody here to take the calling of God for granted. Because your rising, your prosperity, your protection, your security, your rising to be known is all involved in this calling. So what you do with the call of God is very important. And mind you, life is very short. Now, anytime you get up and you get opportunity to exist, I say you get the opportunity to exist, don't take it for granted. Amen. God called Abraham and told Abraham, leave your father's house and go to a land that I will show you. Little did Abraham know that his calling is connected to the destinies of generations yet unborn. And so as you sit here, know that your destiny is connected. I was telling a few friends who went on the air. I'm talking about who preached on the air. And I was telling them that anytime you sit on the air and you are talking, know that there are people who are listening, whose destinies, whose future, and their children's future is dependent on the statements you are making. So please be careful of the statements you make. Are you listening to me? So when God called Abraham, God said, leave your father's house and go to a land that I will show you. Hear me carefully. You see, the calling of God sometimes is highly unattractive in the beginning. And some of the people I pity a lot, pastors' wives. You see, I shouldn't talk. I will talk. You see, listen. When God calls a man, there are challenges the man goes through he cannot share with anybody apart from God. You understand what I'm saying? When God told Abraham, go and sacrifice your son, do you think Abraham just went to Sarah, Charlie? Sacrifice. No. It was something between you and God. Are you understanding me? There are pastors here. There are things we go through. Listen, the ministry, the calling of God is for me, sometimes it looks like a mystery. It's an experience you cannot share with people. The challenges, the things involved. There are times you wake up in the morning and you are confused. There are times you don't even know whether you have been called or not. There are sad moments in the life of a minister when nobody understands you, not even your church members understand you. And yet, you have to stand there, preach and smile. Yesterday night you slept and the kind of weird dreams you had. You have not been able to titrate. Yet you have to be able to stand there and give a message as if nothing has happened. Oh, bowed, but you have to bless the people. Listen. Sometimes we walk under. Listen, let me tell you something. When I see my bishop, Reverend Steve Major, stand here and he ministers, you don't know where this man is coming from. And the young ones who are coming into the ministry, don't let the pulpit deceive you. Don't let the holding of the pulpit and the wearing of nice coats deceive you. There is the dying aspect of the ministry you haven't been there before. One of my friends sitting here tells me, everybody, every pastor has got his wilderness he has to go through. Yeah. And I call the wilderness God's University of Silence. There you can't complain. When God put Moses in the wilderness 40 years, extracting 40 years of Egypt from him, the only language he knew how to speak was meh, meh. 40 years walking with the sheep. And the Bible described Moses as a man who was powerful in words and in deeds. God calls Moses, and Moses now tells God, I'm a stammerer. Then you will know that it is not him that willeth. It is God who showeth mercy. And so bathe yourself constantly in grace as a minister. Bathe yourself, remind yourself of grace. God took you out of nothing. And he, God knows where he's taking you. And bet you, I can tell you that your beginning may be small, may be very insignificant, but your future is great, I'm telling you. Listen, when CEM started, we were not many, we're few. Then the university authorities, some of the brethren among us said, key brethren must go and work. Then me, I'm a Ashanti man. I took my bag as Antonio Pesca. Speed. I left. Then Stephen Stanley stood and said, you work for God. Me, I went to Rome. I didn't get a peswa. But those who stayed in the ministry, listen, I am saying this not to joke, but to make you know that, listen, when God calls you, your prosperity is connected to the call. Listen, there's something we call fulfillment. You can't get fulfillment working at a place where you have not been destined and designed for. They will pay you a good salary, all right, but fulfillment is something within, and salary cannot give you fulfillment. There are things you do, nobody pays you, but there is joy. You go home and you sleep and you know that you are connected to him. Yeah. And as young ministers who are coming to ministry, please, don't be in a hurry, don't be in a rush. Let God mold you one day at a time. The growth of ministry is not instantaneous. You can be handling a ministry for 5 years, 10 years, and the ministry is not growing because God is preparing people who will stand with you. Don't give up. You see, Bible says those who compare themselves with themselves are not wise. You don't know where you are going. God is taking you to a place of rest. And you are comparing. Somebody has got a 50-member team. And so by all means, I must say, no. Brother, take your time. Don't be under pressure. Don't be under pressure. If you know where CM has come from, if you know where we have come from, you will know that God has timings. Say timings. And I know that your timing will not be disappointed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I just came to encourage you. I have a lot of things in mind. But with time. I said with time. Me, I keep telling my time is not yet. But when my time comes, I will talk to you as brothers. God bless you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to confirm what my brothers have said, that it is not an easy thing starting from the beginning
and walking along where God is taking you. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 35 talks about the fact that there is a highway where we have to walk. But besides those highways, there are lions, there are snakes, there are demons, there are all kinds of creatures. Some of them look demonic, others look very much like angels. And they have some kind of light in them, deceitful light. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want you to learn, as we are sharing this afternoon, that it is not an easy road at all. Jesus did not call us to become like chocolate soldiers. Chocolate soldiers, if you are chocolate, when you meet the heat, you melt. Hallelujah. But you are supposed to be men and women of steel in the Lord. Steel so that no matter the heat that comes your way, no matter the creatures that jump on you and frighten you, you will still keep going. It is not a battle where you go in and look back and run. That's what Jesus said. You will be just unfit for the kingdom of God if you look back. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to share a few things on growth in the church. There's one thing that has been disturbing me about the church of late. Not necessarily CEM, but the church at large. Amen. And I believe that it is time for us to get into some of the nitty-gritties that will help us to maintain and strengthen the church so far as growth is concerned. Hallelujah. Amen. It has to do with touching the people, touching the congregation members. What do you do in order for the people to feel touched? You have been called as a leader. You have been selected among many people. You are one of the, you have been chosen as one of the people who are many. In fact, we are told that many are called, but few are chosen. But in the case of your position, it's not few who are chosen. You have been chosen alone. Hallelujah. And you look at yourself as a man or a woman chosen alone. Because when God was calling you, there was nobody around. When God was speaking into your heart, nobody was seeing it. Even if it meant that you were in school, in Bible school, or you were in a leadership or pastoral class, and the preaching was coming, the teaching was flowing, and God spoke into your heart, the one who was leading you then will not know that God had touched your heart. Amen. Amen. Once a while, God will bring a confirmation. But generally, when God was touching you in the depths and the bottom of your heart, nobody knew about it. Amen. If I you yourself, when I ask you what date and time it happened, you may not be able to tell me. Amen. That is how God calls us. And he calls us as individuals. And when he calls us, he expects that we will follow a certain order. We will follow certain principles. Some of the principles are not very, very clear. As my brother Divine said, when the calling comes, there are all the equipments and the rewards that come with them. But you will not be able to pinpoint them. Sometimes you have the promise and you'll be expecting, and you don't know why the promise is not getting fulfilled. Let me tell you one thing. When Jesus promises, he takes his own time to fulfill it. Amen. He said to us 2014 years ago, I am coming soon. Where is he? And because of that, some of us have even taken it easy. We look at some of the prophecies, then we recount backwards some of the fulfillments. That in the last days, nations will rise against nations. So you recall 1914, there was world war and nations rose against nations. It was repeated in 1939, nations rose against nations. So if today US is rising against Afghanistan and Iraq, it means that there is more time for us. That is how we calculate our days. But let me tell you one thing. When God says he's coming, it means that he's coming. Let us stand on the alert and expect. That is one of the marks of a pastor and a believer. We are in expectation of what God has said he will do. And he is not just tarrying, but he's waiting for us. And he's waiting for his own appointed time, which he has given to us, so that he will fulfill this thing. Let us stay on the alert. Let us walk in the place where he says we should walk, so that we will not go off. Do you know that one day when you decide that you are turning yourself around negatively for a second, that is where Jesus will appear. He says that he will do so in the twinkling of an eye, and you will not be aware of it. By the time you are aware, it will have taken place. I don't see anybody here being left behind in Jesus' name. Amen. But we are moving on, and we are carrying people on our shoulders. We are carrying people on our backs. We are leading people, and as we said early on, where you are leading, that is where the people are following. And where are you going to? You leave people with people, and you look them in the face, and you tell them directly or indirectly, I will never forgive you. And the people are in church. You are supposed to be leading them. They are following you. So when you tell somebody, I will never forgive you, where is the person going to? And you yourself, where are you going to? You're walking in darkness, isn't it? Yes. Interacting with the people means that we have to increase our interpersonal relations. The people we are leading are looking up to us. Whilst you are leading, they are following. When you take off your foot from a place, you would have caused what we call a footprint. And somebody will look at your footprint and put his foot inside there and becomes his footstep. Hallelujah. If you don't have any footprints behind you whilst you are moving, it means that the people will not have any place to step. And they will easily get lost. And you would have caused it because you didn't create any footprints for them to have a place to step. Hallelujah. Amen. So in leading the people, we need to be involved in their activities, not the negative things that they do. I'm talking about sharing with them. The Bible says that weep with those who weep. And we need to weep with them. The Bible says that we should rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And so we have to rejoice with them. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes it's very, very difficult, especially when the church is enlarging in numbers. You cannot be wherever they are in order to weep with them, but let the church do it. It means that, as we heard yesterday, you can appoint or assign somebody to go and touch the people on behalf of the church, and it is very, very effective. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes the church members accuse us of being selective. Why is this so? They think that the church did not come to their naming ceremony. The church did not come to their funeral. The church did not come to their weddings. But we can easily attend the weddings. You are a church made up of 10 people. If the head part, the leader cannot go, and the secretary cannot go, and the deacons cannot go, there could be two people who live in the same area with a person who can easily represent us. Amen. And they will go and say that we have been assigned by the church to come to you. You are touching the lives of the people. Praise the Lord. Amen. Luke 19 verse 13 and 6. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all these people. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looked up to heaven. He blessed them and broke and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. Jesus at one time came across the people who were hungry, and those people haven't finished with us. We still have people who are hungry all around us all the time. Amen. And if Jesus Christ is our example, then we have to learn how to feel how what the people are feeling so that we can go to their aid in one way or the other. Probably you may not be able to pray all the time for 2 loaves of bread to be able to reach the multitudes who are following in church. But you can identify 1 or 2 people and let the church take care of them. They don't have food to eat. What can the church do? It's possible that you can catch some fish and give it to them, or you can teach them how to fish so that they can go on fishing for themselves. Amen. In fact, the second option is always the best, because you cannot take care of somebody all the days of the person's life. And there must be individual growth and individual development. When the people in the church are growing individually, it affects the growth of the church. The church also grows. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to touch them. We need to make the people feel important. Let the members of the church trust in you. Let them stand wherever they stand on their own, and they can say positive things about you. Hallelujah. Amen. Spend money on them. Spend time on the members of the church. It will cause growth. And when I'm talking about growth, I am not talking about numerical strength increase. I'm talking about quality of the people. The quality of the people, when they are increased, when the people are growing by themselves, when the people are praying by themselves, when the people are running by themselves with the word of God, when you haven't organized a crusade, four people will come and say that we want to do door to door somewhere. We want to run from one kiosk to another. We want to do some little evangelism. We want to do dumb broadcast somewhere. It means that the church is growing. Amen. Amen. So let us teach them and let us follow them. Let us back them. Let us draw them onto ourselves so that they will feel like they are part of the ministry. The leader of a church is not the only one who is running. Everybody is running with the leader. The leader of the church cannot see everywhere at the same time. And so there must be deputies. There must be trusted people. And where are you going to fetch those trusted people from? You can't go out there and go and bring in people you call trusted people. If I want to go out and bring somebody in, it will take time to locate the character of the person. Amen. Some people can come in and I remember the day I was asked to face the panel. The big shots of CEM had seated. And I was asked to face them to be interviewed. That was the time before I was made a deacon. Hallelujah. Amen. And then I noticed that there were questions that were coming and going, and I was answering them. Then at the end of it all, I lifted up my hand. And I said, I had a question. Yeah, I had to question the panel. Well, when you go to interviews, you have opportunity to ask questions. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, and I do it all the time. I always have a question for the panel. I said that I came to this church not too long ago, and I have been given a certain assignment. Is it not dangerous that I just came and then I was appointed to be a leader of a section? Then I noticed the whole panel started laughing. Quack, 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 quack. I said, oh, why? I thought I was asking a very good question. Then the leader of the panel made mention of the fact that they had gone behind me and they had looked at my past. And so they are not afraid, because some of them had sat in places where I was teaching many years ago. Some of them had sat in places where I was delivering many, many years ago. So I was not new, even though they were almost all of them were new to me. Hallelujah. Amen. So you need to know the background. But as I said, if you don't go into the past of the person, you may import a dangerous person into the flock. Hallelujah. So it is good to grow your own people. It is good to grow your own persons. It is good to let the church grow. Let the quality of the independent people grow so that we know that the church is growing. Hallelujah. Amen. Otherwise, they will become meat for the scavengers. Otherwise, people will catch them and chew them up. But the worst part of it is that somebody can hijack somebody who is not trusted in the church and make the person become a leader of the fifth column. Hallelujah. They will come and join you. They are with you, but they are spying out for somebody else somewhere. Amen. It means that your eyes are not going around the church members. So if you're a leader, put your eyes deeply into the flock and look at everybody. You have only two pairs of eyes, but they see only one at a time. So make sure that there are other extended eyes from trusted people who are taking care of, who are seeing, who are looking at the rest of the flock, so that you have everybody's data in your hands. Hallelujah. Amen. And by so doing, they are growing. When there is growth in quality, numerical strength will also grow. When there's growth in quality of the people, Financial strength will grow when there is quality growth in the people who are in the church where you are working. It means that there's going to be spiritual growth, and then the God who called you can easily say that the works that are going to be judged by you, from you, are going to be good quality works. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yesterday I was asking somebody who had been in CEM for 6 years. Yeah, 6 years. I asked this lady, how many people have you led to Christ since you came to CEM? Then she stopped and paused for a while and told me none. No, I'm not sure. First she said none. Then she said, I'm not sure. I said, is that so? From today, you are going to be sure about people you are bringing into Christ in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes some people will be inside there, and if you don't locate them, they will just be like part of the vehicle that is just going along. And you will not notice that they may not be growing, they may not be working, they may not be doing anything, but you see them always in the front dancing, you see them always in the front singing, you see them always in the front smiling at everybody around, but the growth is not moving in such a person. Let us locate the individuals in our church. Let us locate the people we are working with. Let us locate the people we are leading and identify them one by one. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. It means that he knows that everyone knows his voice. Get to know everybody who knows your voice, so that when we say we are growing, we'll all be growing in the right direction. We'll all be growing in the same spot. Jesus was able to locate the spirit that was inside Judas early enough. Hallelujah. But he didn't sack him. But at least he managed to know everybody's spirit that was playing around within the church. Hallelujah. And that wasn't a small church either in those days. The people and their population was not like our population today. So if you have about 200 people to 300, 500 plus people who are following you in those days, it means that the church was very, very large. It was a mega church. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ would identify every individual person who was in there, and that he will ask the disciples to share the bread, for them to go around and identify each person. And then they were able to identify the boy with the fish and loaves. He was able to send them across so that they will catch some good fish among the people, and then quality and growth will take place in the church. Let us make sure that we are looking closely at the quality of the people who are in church. And we believe that by so doing, the kingdom of God will be expanded so large, and CEM will have been given even honors in heaven because of the works that we all have put together, led by our general overseer. The Lord bless you as you go along with the quality growth observation in your church. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, this afternoon, I call this missed girl. You see, when you go to a hotel, there's a particular menu, they call it missed girl. If you love meat, that is the best meal you can have. You know, they will give you all kinds of meat, different portions, and prepared in different ways. I grew up by the coast, so I love fish. So we went to an Algerian, I went for a conference, and I was sitting with a Nigerian by the... We were taken to a hotel, and I decided, and the menu came in French. And then on one of it is misture de poisson. That is a mixed fish. So I told the guy I wanted this. Then the guy said, hey, Oga, now wait in that. Then it'd be poison where they won't give us. When he saw poisson, I said, okay, no be poison, this be fish. So I love fish. So what we are having is a mixed grill, you know, so that it comes with different aspects, and usually mixed grills are very palatable. So this afternoon we've seen that one of the things that we cannot grow without is to forgive. We've also realized that, you know, we have to heed this call with patience and with seriousness. And we should have it in such a way that we will always touch lives. And whatever we do, we have to have some structures, and we have to have some planning, and we have to have some management in it. Even if you are 5, even if you are 10, if you don't begin to put those structures down. Most of the places where I have been to, particularly those churches operated by foreigners outside, Ghanaians and so on, you realize that initially the thing started as a family and a few friends in the guy's house. But even at that level, everybody had his responsibility and what he was doing. So don't think that because you are 5, because you are 10, because you are only 15, so I will do everything so that the thing, you know, does not deviate. If you cannot start, you know, giving responsibility and trusting the people you are starting with, then you have a problem. But there's one aspect that I want to bring as to what will help, you know, the branches to grow and to be established. The Bible asks a question. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? And it's careful to answer it for us. He whose hands are clean and whose heart is pure. We're talking about righteousness. If you cannot stand in righteousness. It says, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who is going to, is the person who is going to stand, the hill of the Lord is referring to Mount Zion, and that is supposed to be the church. So who is expected to be a pastor? Who can stand in this holy place for the people in to mediate for with God? He says, he whose hands are clean and whose heart is pure. And Pastor Ambrose mentioned a scripture that I want us to refer to. But that is the Isaiah 35. But before we get to that one, I remember that when I was growing up as a Christian, just by name and not by deed, you know, there was a famous question that the Krefe people used to disturb me with. Which way do you choose? The narrow or the broad? Which way do you choose? The narrow or the broad? So even at that time, I knew that there was a broad way and there was a narrow way. But when I became a Christian, I realized that there is another way, which is referred to as the highway. That is what I want us to look at. That is the way we should be on. You know, and we'll see why we have to be there. Isaiah 35, verses 8 and 9. And a highway shall be there, and a way. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean. Somebody who is unrighteous shall not pass over it. So it is not the issue of thinking that your position and your name as a pastor qualifies you. No. You may be called all these things, but you are not on that highway. It shall be for those, the wayfaring men, people who are walking along that way. Fools shall not err. Hey, who are fools? It is the fool who has said in his heart, there is no God. So when the Bible talks about fools, we are not talking about people who are dancers. We are talking, it can be a very clever, intelligent member, and you find a whole lot of such people who say, as for me, I don't believe in God. I believe only in the goodness of man. It says, fools shall not make, you know, that kind of, it is not for fools. It is not for unclean people. And let's look at the verse 9. No lion shall be there. It says that for Satan has made himself like a roaring lion. When you are on that highway, you don't need even to look back to see who is coming after you. Because there shall be no lion nor any ravenous beast. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk on it. If you want half of your problems to be solved for you without even looking back as to what is happening, make sure you are on this highway. Make sure, because a whole lot of people that can put an impediment in your ministry are disqualified once you are on that highway. They are disqualified. They are disqualified. They are disqualified. So this is the highway that you will have to walk on. And as you walk on this highway, you walk on with your scepter of righteousness. On this highway, your symbol of authority is the scepter of righteousness. You know, when a king or a queen is installed, one of the things that symbolizes his position is the crown and the scepter. The scepter is believed to have been modeled after the shepherd's staff. So your shepherd's staff, even though you are not holding a staff like the bishops do, you know, and for those of you, some of us came back from the Catholic background, so we've been mass service for years. If a bishop is, you know, visiting any parish, the way you can distinguish who is the bishop and who is not is the one who is carrying the scepter. You see, and if he is visiting somebody else's diocese, he holds the thing in a different way. But not many people take note, because we have been mass service before. You know, if a bishop has to do something in another bishop's diocese, when he's there, he doesn't hold the thing like that. He turns it this way. He holds it this way in acknowledgement of the fact that he is not the bishop of that diocese. You know, so it is for us, our scepter is the scepter of righteousness. You know, and what is righteousness? Righteousness is your ability to stand before God without any guilty conscience. Your ability to stand before God without any guilty conscience. It says that if your conscience proves you wrong, you know, we have consciences. When you are doing something, nobody will need to tell you. Once the word of God is in you, once the spirit of God has activated the conscience that is within you, it is your inner voice, it is your inner witness. When you are doing something and it is wrong, you know. You know. And you have to respond to that conscience. If you don't, a time comes, your conscience becomes dead. Then it is as if they've you know, deadened it with a hot, you know, when you are touched with a very hot rod, the part of the skin becomes deadened, that it is no longer sensitive to any touch. So as your conscience proves you wrong, and you do not respond, you do not react to it in the expected way, and you keep on doing it, a time will come you accept it as normal. You begin to accept the abnormal as normal. You know, so as pastors, if we want our branches to grow, we should make sure that we are always on this highway. We are on the highway of righteousness. We are on this highway. And you see, highways, that when you get on the highway, you can move very fast. It's like you're on a motorway. You know, when you are on, even when you are on a narrow, you know, as a matter of fact, it is the narrow way that leads into the highway. Because they've told us there's a broad way that leads to something else. There is a narrow way, and that leads to life. But it is the highway that takes us and moves us forward. And why do we have to be on this highway of righteousness? I just want to share with you a few scriptures. Psalm 34, verse 15. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon who? The righteous. And his ears are open unto their cry. It says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. That is why when you are on this highway of righteousness, you need not to look back, because there are so many dangerous things that are disqualified. The lion cannot be there. Ravenous beasts cannot be there. Fools cannot be there. The unclean cannot be there. You know, but rather as you are on it, the eyes of the Lord are on you. So when you know that, you know, because you are in a state of righteousness, as you begin to stand before God, you see, because if you've done something wrong, the first person to accuse you will not be your conscience. It is the enemy. Satan, the accuser of the brethren. That is one of his titles. If you've done something wrong and you have not confessed, as soon as you are about to pray or you are about to do something, immediately he will bring it to you. Hey, we say, we'll Hansi. Are you sure you qualify? No, ubele hands. Hansi ako touchy. No man won't worry. He is the one who will accuse you first, you know. But we should be consoled with the fact that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Isaiah 59 verse 1. I always quote this. It says that, you know, the ears of the Lord are not closed, that it cannot hear. Neither is his hand short, that it cannot reach you. But what? Our iniquities that has brought a separation. You know, so this is a confirmation. God cannot put it. Look, when I always say that when he was introducing Jesus publicly, he says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." But it got to a point, the most difficult period Jesus ever had in his life was when he felt abandoned and he cried out, my God, why have thou forsaken me? If there was any moment that he felt very uncomfortable was when he lost the presence and the cover of God. And why? Because of sin. And God has not changed. If he had to forsake his only begotten son because of sin. You that he has called you just to come and do some small job somewhere. When are on their upper spell. The eyes of the Lord. It is something, you know, that was why in those days they were sacrificing blood, because that is what makes it look like a covering, so that God cannot see the son of man. You know, it is like these days, many of you, we used to have what they call Nkwanta Krachi. Who know Nkwanta Krachi? Oh, these were public health people who were going around with a ladder, Nkwanta. And then when they, in those days, you store water in, so when they come and they sample the water and they can see some things, then the place is not healthy. And somehow, tankers. Tankers. They call it tankers. Oh, Musisa. Nkwanta Krachi. The name Nkwanta better in Sunash, it is okay. No. So, what we are saying is that we have to be sure that, you know, nobody can accuse us. Your conscience will not accuse you. If your conscience accuses you, naturally say, and when you realize, you know, because we are men, it says that if anybody thinks that he you know, then the truth is not in you. But thanks be to God, he has given us activated conscience, so that as believers, that is one of the safety guards. If you are about to go overboard, then the word will quicken you. Like I was sharing with the teachers of the Sunday school teachers, it gets to a point, you know, you are in a tight corner and the enemy thinks he's gotten you, then all of a sudden some scripture drops into your heart, and you know that this is God strengthening you to get out of that situation. That is why you must have the word of God in you. You know, it says that the Spirit will remind us. But I always say, if you don't know, how can you be reminded? You can only be reminded about something you know which you have forgotten. If the thing is not there in the first place, how can you remind you at the time that you need it for it to pop up in your spirit and for you to be able to stand on and use it? That is why by day, I once read a book. Maybe that is what has influenced me a lot. It says, no Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. Before you feed yourself physically in the morning, make sure that you have fed yourself spiritually first. The title of the book, that was what attracted me. I bought the book and I read it and it has helped me. No Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. Make sure that you are well grounded in the word. Proverbs 15 verse 8. So we are seeing that even the answering of your prayers is linked directly with your state of righteousness. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright, some translations say the prayer of the righteous is his delight. So when you know you are in right standing, if you are not in right standing, make sure that you do the protocol that will put on the cloak of righteousness on you through the blood of Jesus Christ. through confessing your sins, through pleading, and then you can come with boldness, you can come with confidence. Otherwise, I can guarantee you the accuser will do his job. He will tell you, I mean, because you have not cleared. If you give him a foothold, he will step in. He says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the righteous is his delight. You know, so we are talking about the fact that, you know, you need to pray. But you can be praying, and like it was being said, your prayer does not even go beyond the ceiling, because you are not in the on the highway of righteousness. You are not in the, it says, who shall stand in his holy place? Just when you are coming, you know that you are standing in a holy place. Who shall stand in his holy place? And then you come, you are standing in front of the altar. The place is holy, but you are unholy. So everything that you are doing is just show. Showmanship, keke. Showmanship. That thing is not going anywhere. It's showmanship. Showmanship. And they will be used to words and kese. And then call baby, you know it. So let's try and maintain James chapter 5. The effectual, fervent prayer of the who? Pastor? Bishop? Evangelist? Teacher? The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth what? Much. Availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So, prayer, word, righteousness, forgiveness. You see, because if you do not forgive, it becomes a hindrance. Not only are you walking in darkness, not only are you being accused of the cutter of heads, but your prayers are hindered. You know, so if we do not put all these things together, we will not go much further. And finally, Romans 14:17. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness and peace. You know, so in the kingdom, righteousness is the scepter you have to hold. And you have to be on that highway. And then you put on your breastplate of righteousness. You know, and so as you walk on this highway with your scepter of righteousness, with your breastplate of righteousness, then you are unstoppable. You are unstoppable. Nothing, no man, no principality, no woman, nothing can hinder you, because you are on the highway of righteousness. That already disqualifies many people who can interfere with your ministry. And once you have that scepter in your hand, and you know that you are carrying that spiritual authority, and you have the breastplate of righteousness, then any enemy, any arrow that is shot from any corner, you will be able to deal with it. So these are the things that will help our branches to establish and will help to be able to move from one level onto another. There is no shortcut. There is no formula. There is no technique. It is an issue of righteousness, forgiveness, the word, and prayer. This is the only way. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever. Ask whatsoever. So it is a combination of the word and prayer in a state of righteousness that will take you very far. Thank you, and God bless you.